Book of Judges tonight. Judges chapter 13. We've been in the Gospel of John and kind of been bouncing around a little bit along with it. And I just had a thought on my heart tonight. And I'll give you something, be an encouragement, be a help to you tonight. And be an exhortation to us that the Lord will help us. And so, Judges chapter 13, and when you find your place, if you like to and are able, we'll stand one last time, reverence the reading of the Word of God, and read some verses here, and give you the thought the Lord's put on our heart, and pray for me. My throat's still not exactly right, and so it's just that time of year, isn't it? And so anyways, but Lord willing, we'll all get through it together. Praise the Lord. Judges chapter 13. And look with me in verse number 1. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Our text verse tonight is verse 8, says, Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And I want to preach to you tonight on prudent praying, or praying with prudence. And so let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving it for us and giving it to us. We can have it, read it, study it, preach it, or hear it taught. Lord, I just thank you so much, Lord, for your word. It is a lamp under our feet, a light under our path. Lord, it's how we know you. And Lord, we just thank you so much for it. Thank you for the Spirit of God that guides us into all truth and gives us understanding to this Bible, and Lord, makes it alive to us. And Father, I just thank you for our church to come to and your people, and Lord, all you've given us here in this place in these days. And Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to receive from heaven what you'd have us to receive. I pray that you'd give that special touch that makes preaching. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive it with meekness and gladness. Draw us nigh to thee. And Lord, stir revival in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be people of prayer. And Lord, use us in a mighty way in these days. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be aware in this text, maybe at least somewhat aware of what is going on here. The book of Judges is a book of the record of, just like the title, it's the record of the judges of Israel. God began to raise up men that he called judges to lead Israel. And he raised up several good judges, but not all the judges were good judges. And right here in chapter 13, what we see is God sending one of the judges. He's raising up one of these men. And the very first thing we see in this text, in this passage, is grace and mercy from God. Because the very first phrase in the chapter is, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord."
And in spite of that, when Israel has all but turned her back on God and is now worshiping Baal and following after Baal and is doing all kinds of wickedness, God yet is still willing to step out and perform really a miracle here placing a child into a barren womb specifically for this very nation. Now, this nation's the one doing evil inside of God, and yet while they're doing evil, God's got a plan already. Amen? And by the way, let me just say that wherever we are, it's something to remember that God often has something already planned out. You know, He's already got something, the things in or things working in our favor, the things that we never see. Here Israel is, and they're doing evil on the side of God. They're doing their own thing, and yet they don't even realize that God's being gracious to them, and God's being merciful. And a woman is going to conceive a child, and 9 months later, she's going to give birth to a child who is going to be a judge in Israel. And Jesus said He's going to begin to deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. And so it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next week. It ain't even going to happen next year. But on down the road, there's already a plan in place to deliver Israel from the situation that they're in because of their evil they're doing. That's just God. I mean, that's just the wisdom of God there. That's the wisdom of God that we can't comprehend when we try to work everything out, figure everything out. Listen, God's already got things set in motion to deliver you and to bless you and to help you. Listen, God's going to meet every need we've got. Isn't that right? It's amazing how God can take things that are so far from being put together. I mean, they're light years apart, and yet He can weave it all together to be a blessing to us. That's just God. And so it says that they've done Israel and Israel's done evil against the Lord and the side of the Lord. And so God's already being gracious. He's already being merciful. He should have thrown them in hell. Amen. But yet He's working in their favor. And then it says, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Listen, don't tell me none of us are going to pay for our sins. I mean, these are God's chosen people here, but that does not acquit them of the consequences of their sin. Amen. And so I know we're saved. If you're saved tonight, we're in a good church. We got a King James Bible. We got all these wonderful things. Listen, don't think for a second that God will ever wink at your sin or my sin. Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. And there certainly are people tonight that are paying for their sin in the same way Israel's paying for their sin. Oh no, they've not been delivered to the Philistines specifically, but I mean they've been delivered to certain things that God's allowed them to be delivered to because of their sin. Now, if Israel would have repented and would have called out for mercy and turned to God, they would have found mercy in the sight of God. But it's whenever we will not repent and turn out and we hang on to these sins, the things that we know the Holy Spirit's dealing with us about, God eventually is going to deliver you over to something. Amen. Listen, the Lord will deal with us. He'll work with us and He'll try to straighten us out. But listen, there comes a point where God will just let you go. He'll give you what you're asking for. Amen. That's right. You'll get what you want, lose what you had. Amen? And so that's exactly what's happened to Israel, but God is still being merciful. And the Bible tells us that there was a young couple here. Best way, I don't know that's a young couple. There's a couple here. A lady named Zorah. And she was of the family of the Danites. And she was married to a man named Manoah. There was a man named Zorah, and his son was Manoah, and they were of the Danites, and his wife is barren, and she cannot conceive. I don't know how long that they had tried to maybe had a child. I don't know if they'd given up hope. I don't know about all that, but I do know that God stepped into their life, their situation, and to be a blessing to Israel, that He's being a blessing to them. That's amazing how God works in such a way that anytime He steps into a situation, it'll always be a blessing to everybody. You know, the Christian life's never about taking. By the way, that's why gambling is still a sin in 2023. Because for you to win in gambling, somebody else has got to lose. And the Christian life's not about winning and losing. Whenever God's in it and God's involved, nobody loses. Everybody gets blessed. There's no winners and losers. Amen? Listen, that's why we don't go down to the casinos, and that's why we don't gamble, and that's why we don't bet on racing, and that's why we don't bet on sport. Christians still don't do that. Christians don't buy scratch-off tickets, and they don't play the lottery. Amen. I know that's old-fashioned dinosaur kind of preaching, but it's still right in 2023. Amen. Christians don't do that stuff. Amen. Number one, it's not being a good steward of what God gave you. Amen. And number two, for you to win, somebody's got to lose. And there's no losers with God. And so God is stepping in to be a blessing to Israel and at the same time being a blessing to this couple. And that's the way God always works. Amen. Listen, if there has to be a loser in the situation and you have to do somebody wrong or something like that, you know, to get done what you're trying to get done, you can just guarantee God's not in it. God ain't in it. That's one good way to gauge the will of God. I'm not talking about making everybody happy now. I'm not saying everybody's got to be happy about it. And I'm not saying that everybody's got to, you know, got to agree and go along with it. But listen, if there are winners and losers, you can about guarantee God ain't in it. Amen? And so He's blessing multiple people. And that's the way it always is. Anytime God gets involved, more than one person is blessed. Amen? And He opens her womb and blesses them with a child. A child that He tells them is going to be an anointed man of God, a Nazarite that God will use to begin to deliver Israel. And I don't know about you, but as a parent, that'd be some great news to get on the front end. Because none of us know how our children are going to turn out, do we? Isn't that right? And by the way, we know that this child that they were going to give birth to is a man by the name of Samson. And he was and did everything God promised that he would do, but at the same time, he still didn't turn out right. Right? You know, the best thing any of us could do is pray for our children, get them under the Spirit of where the Spirit of God is, get them in under the preaching of the Word of God, put the Word of God in them, and pray for them and guide them and lead them and do our best to shelter them from the world and keep things out of their life that don't need to be. That's the best we can do. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to make their choice to serve God. Amen? And by the way, I do still believe in sheltering our children. Amen? Don't you? I hope we all still believe that. And I don't believe this idea of just turning them loose to the world, letting them figure it out. They're not, listen, they ain't got enough sense to figure it out. I barely do, much less our children, right? Turn them loose to the world. And somebody said, well, you believe in all this sheltering your children. How long do you think you ought to shelter your children? I think we ought to do it as long as Moses' mama did it. You know how long she did it? She sheltered her boy from Pharaoh, who's a picture of the devil, in Egypt, which is the picture of the world. So she sheltered him from the devil and from the world. And the Bible says, until she could not. You go back and read the story. She sheltered him. It already ordered all the Hebrew children, you know, killed, you know. And she made up her mind. She wouldn't let the devil have her boy. She wasn't letting the world have her boy. She wasn't going to lose his life to the world and the devil. Amen. She made up her mind. She'd risk her own life. She'd risk her own reputation. She'd break the rules. Amen. You know, if you're going to have a family that's going to honor God and raise a godly generation, you're going to have to break the rules in 2023. Amen. You're not going to be able to go along with what's socially acceptable in this world and raise a godly generation. You have to be willing to break some rules, amen, and not be worried about your reputation and what everybody else thinks and what society thinks and the government says. Listen, she made up her mind. She wasn't letting the devil in this world have her boy. Amen? And she sheltered him and she hid him, the Bible says, until she could not. I think we ought to do it until we can't no more. Till it's a physical impossibility. Till they're old enough to make it on their own. Amen. To think for themselves. Amen. And they're out on their own. And you can't keep them at home anymore. And you can't keep them back anymore. Amen. By the way, that's not the idea anyways. The idea isn't to hold them back. The idea is for them to go on and serve God. Amen. And so we shelter them from the world till we can't no more. That's what she did. And when she couldn't anymore, you know what she did? She made an ark of bulrushes. She daubed it within and without with slime. Amen? She made an ark. She put him in that ark. What's the ark a picture of? Jesus. Amen? She put him in Jesus' hands. And she prayed for him, and she sent out, she did everything she could possibly do to protect him and give him the most opportunity and the best possibility of making it when he was out on his own. She provided everything she could possibly provide. Amen. That's what we ought to do. Amen. Praise God. Do everything we can to shelter them. And then when we can't, do everything we can to protect them from this world so that Jesus can take them and put them in the Lord's hands. Amen. Praise God. I know not everybody has children, but we got a generation coming on that needs to hear this. Amen. Kaylee and Kelby and all you other ones that's going to get married and have children one of these days. You need to get this in your heart and realize that you're going to break the rules and go against society. Not everybody's going to like the way you're doing it if you're going to do it God's way. And people are going to scratch their head. They're going to think you're crazy and they're going to question you and they're going to wonder why you're doing it the way you're doing it. Amen. But if we'll ever raise a godly generation, we'll have to do it that way. It's never been popular to go the way of God. Amen. Hallelujah. None of that's in my notes. It's all free. I didn't charge you for any of that tonight. Amen? And so these parents here, though, God tells them up front, their son, he's going to be a great man of God, to a degree, in one sense. He's going to be anointed. And so he opens the womb, and God sends this angel to inform Manoah's wife that they're going to have a child. And this is the news. It's this news that calls Manoah to pray a prayer, a specific prayer, in verse number 8, our text verse tonight. I've given you a lot to lead up to that verse, but here we are. He calls him to pray this prayer in this verse. And he prayed this prayer very prudently. And it doesn't just apply to children in the home and families. It does apply to that, but not just that. But he prays very prudently, and he prays in a way that really could touch all areas of our prayer life. And I want to show you a few things in this prayer and in this story that I think will be a blessing, be a help to us, and exhort us to pray prudently. First of all, in verse number 8, I want you to notice the focus of his prayer. Talking about praying prudently. He prayed in a way with the right focus here. The emphasis of Manoah's prayer here was not on learning more about the promises. Now, they've heard from this angel, you know, this man of God that's come to them and told his wife, you're going to conceive and have a child, all these things, and given all these promises, told what this child's going to do and all these things. But Manoah here, you notice, he doesn't ask anything. He doesn't ask for more information about the child. He doesn't ask for more information about the promises. It's not, you know, Lord, tell me more about what you're going to do for me. Tell me all about what you're going to do for us. And you notice he didn't really pray that way. In fact, the emphasis of his prayer was very little, really not at all, even on the promises that were made. Instead, it was on learning more about the precepts that would come with these promises. You know, every promise from God comes with a precept. In other words, every promise God made to you and makes to you, it's going to come with a responsibility on your end. To whom is given much, or who's faithful much, you know, I messed up that verse. To whom much is, thank you, Miss Willistein, amen. To whom much is given, much is required. God doesn't make a bunch of promises and heap up a bunch of blessings and then leave our responsibility out of it. Amen? With every promise, there's a responsibility. Listen, that verse in Malachi we quote every service whenever we give. Amen? Listen, God challenges us to give. He says, test me on that. See if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But the responsibility is you got to give. You got to give to God what He's due, what you owe Him. Amen. You say, well, I don't owe God anything. First of all, you owe God everything. Amen. And second of all, the tithe is His, whether you give it or not. Isn't that right? We still believe that too, don't we? Amen. And so He says, if you'll give, then I promise I will heap up the blessings so much that you won't even be able to contain them. Amen. I believe with all my heart. I take, and this ain't even a message about giving. But I'm just going to tell you, I keep up 0% with who gives what around here. I have no idea what you give. I don't care enough. It's not up to me. That's between you and God. I'm not gonna send anybody a bill for missed tithes, amen. I'm not gonna knock on your door, have a meeting with you about, listen, you ain't been given. Because listen, you're gonna obey God or you're not. Right? I don't keep up with everybody, what everybody gives and doesn't give. That's not the preacher's job to, you know, make sure you're checking all the boxes so that you can be blessed of God. Listen, you got to do that from your heart to the Lord, or it means nothing in eternity. Right? Now I'm not saying that thinking that we're not a giving church, because this is a giving church. And I feel half embarrassed about any time I ever mention giving, because you are a giving, we have a giving church. And I thank God for that. Amen. But I will say this, I believe, not necessarily here, it may be here, I don't know, but I do believe with all my heart there are people that are in good churches and they say they love the Lord and they've got all the trappings of religion on the outside, but they are not near as blessed as they could be in the real blessings, because they don't give like they should. They don't give like they should. And by the way, the real blessings are not a new car in the garage, and it's not a bigger house, and it's not even a raise on the job. Listen, God hasn't got to give you more income to stretch it farther. God can stretch a dollar way farther than you can stretch $1,000. Amen? And by the way, if we don't honor God, if we don't give it to God, I tell you, He's going to get it out of us one way or the other, and He might get it out of a tire, or He might get it out of a washing machine, amen? Or He might get it out of a leaking roof, or He might get it out of He might get it out of a doctor bill or something. He's going to get it out of us, amen? And by the way, again, it's not even about the financial blessings anyway. Thank the Lord for them, but the real blessings are a happy home and peace in your heart and a good life and God blessing you and God giving you a good church and their peace and harmony. Listen, money can't even buy those things. Amen? And I believe with all my heart there's people tonight that have lost their children because they did not give the way God told them to. I believe that. Amen. I believe there are people tonight that's got problems, heaped on problems in their home life, on the job, in their life, and it's because they don't give like God's commanded them to. They're out of the will of God in giving and tithing. Amen? Because with that promise comes a precept, a responsibility, and it's that way with everything, right? Even salvation itself. I know it's a free gift, but it has to be taken. There's a precept with it. It all hinges on the human responsibility of whether or not you will receive it, whether or not you will believe, right? And when Manoah prays here, he's not praying all about, oh God, me, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's all about, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Lord, what is my responsibility? Manoah wanted to know more about his responsibility than he did his privileges. Amen? Thank God we've got a lot of privileges, but we got just as many responsibilities to God too. See, he was asking God, Lord, what's my responsibility here? What do I do here? Thank you for giving us this child, but Lord, I want to raise him right. Lord, I want to honor you. I want to do it right with what you've given me. And we ought to always want to do right with what God has given us. Amen? Don't ever take the blessings God's given you and you use them for you. He gave them to be used for Him. Right? You think about all the gifts and talents and abilities and things that this world takes that God's blessed them with. They didn't get it on their own. Oh, they may have worked and they may have you know, cultivated that gift or whatever, but at the end of the day, if God didn't give it to them, they wouldn't have it. You think about all the celebrities and the singers and I mean, just the majestic voices that people got. Listen, you can't get that on your own. You can't buy that. That's a natural born gift, a natural born talent that God dishes out. But instead of using it for God, they use it for themselves. Right? And Manoah is not looking to take what God's given him and use it for himself. He's wanting to use it to honor God. And that ought to always be our mentality. And we ought to always pray and look to the Lord. Lord, how would you have me use this blessing? How would you have me use what you are giving me here? The focus of his prayer. Now, this is the way our prayer should be. Lord, what can I do to please you? Right? We always be careful that we don't just always ask God what He can do for us rather than what we should do for God. We need to pray more often like Manoah does here. Amen. The focus of his prayer. Number two, I want to show you this. Notice the faith of his prayer here. The faith of his prayer. Now, in view of his situation, in view of the society at this point in time, Manoah's prayer revealed really some remarkable faith here. Some very remarkable faith. Come on in, brother. Amen. His prayer revealed some very remarkable faith. And I want to mention two things about this faith. All right, everybody listen. First of all, in light of his faith here, it shows remarkable faith in two areas. First of all, it shows faith in regard to his situation. Okay? Are you listening? It shows faith in his praying regarding his situation. See, Manoah's wife, again, has been barren for years. As far as we know, she's been barren all her life. We don't know. As far as we know, that she's never been able to have a child. They may have tried and failed and never had a child. But his faith here is so great that he didn't ask for any kind of confirmation for the promise. You know that? You notice that? When he prays, assuming that God's going to do exactly what God said he would do. We're not like that a lot, are we? Oh, well, we pray, and it's like, well, God, are you sure? God, give me a sign, right? God, make sure, make double, extra, triple sure. Instead of just believing God, doing what we're supposed to do, it's like, oh, we got to check it out, you know. You know, and we try to cut these deals with God, too, don't we? You know, like, well, God, you know, if you'll make it clear, if you'll do this, well, then I'll do this, you know. Whatever happened to just trusting God? Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. And faith narrowed down and boiled down to its most basic, definition is simply this: believe in God. Believe in God, obey in God. Amen? And by the way, you only believe God to the extent that you'll obey God. And not one step further. Don't tell me that you believe God and you trust God if you will not obey God. Disobedience is always a problem with belief, which is a problem with faith. Amen? And so he wasn't praying, Lord, give me a sign. That's the way the Jews are in John, where we're at right now, right? Show me a sign and I'll believe. Come down from the cross and we'll believe. Nobody's ever believed because of a sign. Amen? I mean, if they wouldn't believe God's word and what he says, they wouldn't believe the sign he gave either. Right? And the Jews were always that way. They're always wanting a sign, but Manoah here has got enough faith that he's not asking for a sign. He's just believing God. Instead, he's asked for help in raising this promised child because he knows God's going to give it to him. He's never doubted God for a second. His faith was great in spite of what could be discouraging situations, discouraging circumstances. And so he's got faith in his prayer regarding his situation, but then faith in his prayer regarding his society. Now, we've already mentioned that Israel here in the very first verse, they're doing evil on the side of God. I mean, they've walked away from God. Manoah's day was a day of apostasy. I mean, you go back and read the whole story. By the way, that's the whole reason God even raised up judges to begin with. Because his people wouldn't do right. Because they were in apostasy, active apostasy. They knew God, knew the truth, and they intentionally turned their back on. And that is what apostasy is. That's where America's at. We know the truth, been raised on the truth. I mean, there's a whole generation. I mean, we're far from it now, but at one time, there's a whole generation raised on this King James Bible. They were taught it in school. They prayed in school and intentionally and willingly turned their back on it and said, we don't want it. We don't want it. Even in churches tonight, there are people that know the old time way. They were raised in the old time way. They know the preacher preaches about the King James Bible. They know he preaches from this Bible, but they don't want it. I mean, they'll go several miles with God, but there's always a mile they won't go. Oh yeah, I believe this, that, I believe all that. I believe all that about Jesus. I believe all that in the do's and don'ts. But he ain't going to tell me how to dress. He ain't going to tell me how to raise my kids. He ain't going to tell me I can't go here and can't go there. That's just far enough. And I tell you what that is. That's apostasy. I know the truth, but I refuse to do it. I'm telling you, you'll place yourself under the curse of God if you're not careful. Amen? And I'm not preaching like this because I'm mad at anybody. I'm not. Amen? I love you. Praise God. But I'm thinking about this next generation. And I want you to know, I want you young ones especially to know, that if you come up not doing the will of God, you will place yourself under the curse of God. And the curse of God is just as real in 2023 as it always has been. We act like we don't believe that stuff anymore. I'm telling you, it's real. Amen? You don't want to be on the opposite side of God. You don't want God working against you. Amen? He had faith in his prayer and faith in regards to his society, because the whole society now in Israel has just about completely given to the worship of Baal. Oh, they had the things of God. They had the right way, but now they've turned their back on it. They've gone to Baal. They didn't believe Jehovah anymore. But Manoah did. Manoah did. His faith was great in spite of the fact that unbelief was all around him. And I'm telling you right now, you may have to be the only one that will believe God in your situation. You may have to be the only one that believes God and stands for God in your circumstance. And odds are, in this day, in this hour that we are living in, you probably will be. If you work a secular job, odds are you're going to be the only true believer on that job. True believer. Now listen, there's plenty of false religion everywhere. And I'm not talking about people that go to a place that's called a church. I'm not talking about people that read a book they call a Bible. Because everybody does that stuff. But I'm talking about the pure, unadulterated Word of God and true faith, true religion, pure religion and undefiled, like James talked about. Listen, all those things. Listen, having the real thing, you're probably going to be one of the only ones. There's not many wanting to go the old time way anymore. Amen? And you may have to stand all by yourself, but I'm here to tell you, if you'll stand, God will bless you. We see that right here in Manoah. Odds are, hey, they were one of the only ones that were still believing God. And yet when God was reaching out looking for somebody to bless in that nation that's pretty much abandoned Him, when He was reaching out looking for somebody to bless, who did He reach out to? He reached out to the one that still believed Him. Amen? And so faith in His prayer. We see the focus of His prayer. Last of all, let me give you this very quickly. I want you to know His family in His prayer. I'm talking about praying with prudence here. Notice family in his prayer. Manoah's request had to do specifically, in all practical purposes, had to do with child training. Training children. And his prayer teaches us some great truths about training children. I'm going to give you two of them tonight. Just give you something to think about that really applies to many areas of our life and to our prayer lives. And the first thing he prayed for here, he prayed for guidance in training this child. Look at the verse. Manoah entreated the Lord and said, "O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." He prayed, Lord, give me some guidance. Lord, I don't know how to do this. Lord, I can't figure it out. I have found in my short time in my Christian life, my short time in the ministry, that dealing with people about children, specifically their own children, is one of the tightest and hardest things to ever deal with. And I'll tell you why. Because people, for some reason, think they do no wrong when it comes to their children. They think they do no wrong, and they think their children do no wrong. There's a lot of people that'll go every mile with you when it comes to serving God, but whenever it's their kid or their grandkids you're rebuking, boy, then you find out just how spiritual people really are. This man was spiritual enough to realize that he didn't have it all figured out. And man, there's times I pray all the time. I know I ain't got it close to figured out. And I pray all the time, Lord, help me. Please, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Because I can't figure this out. I don't know. I so desperately want my boys to grow up and serve God. You have no idea. I so badly want them to grow up and serve God. I don't care if they ever do anything in this world's eyes of any real value. If they're digging ditches and if they're doing I can't say if they pick up garbage for a living, because Brother Ronnie Owen picks up garbage for a living. Right? But listen, if they never do anything that's of any real value or any real big in the world's eyes, listen, that's fine with me. I just want them to serve God. And I know that my flesh is so wicked, and I know I do enough things wrong that they'll never get that from me. And I don't trust that from me, and none of us should trust that from ourselves. We ought to be looking to God. Lord, show me what to do. Show me how to do it. And he felt the best place to get instructions for training this child was from God. He's a smart man, by the way. Worldly philosophy is always a poor substitute for God's Word. Always. Always. And again, I keep going back to these young ones. We got young ladies in our church, young single ladies. You know, you're going to be getting married, having children. I'm telling you right now, listen, if you ever get anything from your preacher, get this. Get in this Bible and find out what God says, and do what God says about that. Do what God says about being a wife. Amen. Do what God says about being a mother. Do what God says about being a virtuous woman. Listen, do what God says in those things. Listen, there will always be people and worldly philosophies out there that will contradict that. You'll have friends and peers and people around you all the time with all these ideas. And there's the Instagram philosophy of what a attractive woman is. There's the Facebook philosophy of what a happy home and happy family looks like. Listen, there's the internet philosophy. Listen, all that stuff is out there. But if you never get anything else from me, get this. Find out what God wants you to be, and you'll never go wrong with that. You'll never go wrong with that. It'll be so vastly different from the way the world's doing it. But you'll be able to stand and you'll be able to wear it like a badge of honor, knowing that you're doing the will of God, and God will bless you for it. Amen. Do it God's way. I'm not preaching a message on the home. There's so much I could say tonight. I may do that sometime. So we need that, don't we? We need some more of that. How to have marriage and have a godly home. God, we need to have more of that in this day. I might do that soon. And I'm not preaching that to you tonight. So I'm just telling you that you get in and you get it in your heart. You find out what God wants and you set your heart to do it, no matter what anybody else says. And you will not go wrong. Guide for his children. But then, not only the guide for training his children, but then last of all, the governors in training these children. Manoah revealed in his prayer, just in the way that he prayed, he reveals to us that he believed parents were the ones responsible. He knew that he was the one responsible for this child. He wasn't looking for some daycare or a nanny or any kind of government help. He knew he was the one responsible. And he knew that he would be the one that would give an account to God. Amen. And listen, these things that we're dealing with, they certainly apply to training children, but they really apply to every area of our life. Because it certainly applies in training our children, our homes, and our marriages, but it applies to every life. Don't ever forget that you're going to stand before God and give an account. You're going to give an account to God for every decision you made. The Bible says every idle word. Every idle word. Every thought. I mean, the things that we wouldn't even think even matter. God's going to call them up at the judgment. We're going to give an account for those things. Now, here we're talking about training our children, and we are. Us parents are. Amen. Listen, the school system's not going to give an account for our kids. You and I are. That's why I'm not giving them mine. Amen. I'm not letting this woke generation indoctrinate my kids. Amen. And you shouldn't either. You shouldn't want to either. Amen. Because you'll be the one that will give an account. You'll be the one for that'll give an account for everything that got down in their heart as they were being raised. We'll give an account. I'll give an account for my boys. And I know there's some things that we just do our best and trust the Lord. I understand all that. But I'm just saying we'll give an account for these things. Not somebody else. Us. That's just like us men. We'll give an account for our home as the heads of our home. I know that's not popular in this woke generation, but the husband's still the head of the home. He's still the head of the wife. Amen? By the way, the men are the head of the church. Leaders in the church, leaders in the community. Ought to be leaders in society. Ought to be leaders in government. Amen? Amen. Listen, you find no society, no nation in the Bible that was led by women and children that flourished and that was successful. As a matter of fact, God told Israel at one time that you're under judgment because the women and children are running the place. That's it. Amen. And so, we may step out and we may try to put our responsibility on somebody else and blame somebody else. But I'm telling you, men, you're going to give an account. You are. We can't absolve our responsibility with God, right? I'm just saying, all these areas, listen, we're going to give an account. Wives going to give an account. Children going to give an account for how they obeyed their parents, right? Amen. We're going to give an account with the will of God. We'll give an account. We'll give an account what kind of employee we were, what kind of witness we were, what kind of testimony we had, every outer word. We're going to give an account. We're going to give an account. And it's our responsibility. With every promise comes a precept. And he shows great prudence in his praying here, in asking God, Lord, help me to do the right thing with this promise. We testify every week. We come in here and we have testimonies, and I guess not every service we have testimonies, but most services, at least somebody testifies, and almost every time it's testifying about the goodness of God. Lord's been so good, and I thank Him for His blessings and all that. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Thank God. I'm glad we can rejoice over the blessings of God, but don't forget. With all those blessings that we testify about comes responsibilities with them. We're going to give an account for them too. Amen? And I think it would be very wise. We'd be very prudent to pray the way Manoah prayed. Lord, help me to do your will with the blessings you're giving me. Prudence in praying. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it. Help us all, Lord, to be prudent in our thinking and prudent in our praying. Lord, realizing, Lord, that you've given us great, precious promises. You've given us so much. And Lord, we want to be good stewards and do your will with that which you've given us and that which you've blessed us with. Father, I pray that you'd bless now as we close the service. Lord, I pray that you bless in the altar call. And Lord, for anyone here tonight, Lord, you've dealt with their heart. Lord, I pray, Lord, to do real business with you from their heart. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.